The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. You can find us on Twitter at Bastards_Boston. I am your host, Charlie Smith, coming to you from Los Angeles, California, by way of Providence, Rhode Island. You can find me on Twitter at Smith_MLB. Our other hosts for this episode are Job Goddard, coming to us from Miami, Florida, by way of Newport, Rhode Island, and Terry Cushman, coming to us from Myrtle Beach, by way of Windham, Maine. Job, how are you doing? Where can the fans find you on Twitter?
Oh, I thought I was muted there, Charlie. I'm getting the hang of this podcasting thing again here. The fans can find me at JobMLB. That's J-O-B-M-L-B. Obviously not as active there as I once was. But if you do want to chirp anything I have to say, please feel free to find me there. And I'm doing well.
Excellent to hear. Welcome back. Nice to have you back on the show. It's been a minute. And Terry, how are you doing? Where can the fans find you?
Doing good. Always ready to do some hot takes. I can be found at Cushman MLB podcast at Bastards_Boston. Terry Talks Sox on Facebook. We're on Instagram and find our Substack blog. Otherwise, ready to hit the ground running.
Perfect. Right on. So why don't we go into our first hot take? Terry, we are going to let you lead us off, and then we'll go Job second, and then I'll go third. So Terry, hit us with your first one.
Mine comes from a guy named Eric Joseph. He, according to his bio, is an artist, a photographer, huge Boston sports fan, and his last name is pronounced George E., which isn't, it's in his handle, but not his normal thing. And he comes from Cranston, Rhode Island. So Charlie's neck of the woods. He says, not a hot take, but the Red Sox are entering free fall, ready to be 8 to 10 games out by September 1st. And we're assuming at that point he means the wild card. So here's what the schedule looks like. I have it up in front of me. You got three against the Rangers, four against the Orioles. That's kind of painful to have a four-game set against them. You got three against the Astros again next week, three against the Diamondbacks that weekend, five against the Blue Jays. That's probably your best chance to string together some wins. And then you have two games. Well, it's probably a three-game set, but two on August 30th and 31st. Against the Detroit Tigers. So I think that hot take is totally legit, especially if the Rangers come out of this winning 2 out of 3. Our pitching is not trending well. For the rest of the month, also, you only have one day off, and that is a week from Thursday. So there's going to be no rest for the weary. I'm kind of skeptical on what this rotation is going to look like. You're not going to have Paxton most likely for the end of the year. I forgot to mention on the previous episode, he was hobbling around on crutches in the clubhouse. So not a lot of optimism he'll return by the end of the year. You might have a Tristan Casas guy back by that point, but it's hard to tell really what the lineup is really going to look like once you get him and possibly Trevor Story back. But if Nick Pivetta comes back and his velocity's way down, does he get shut down again? Cooper Criswell's your number five starter. He's going to take over for Paxton. What happens if another one of these guys goes down? Who do you have at that point? Are they going to call up Priester? I don't know.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun, Terry.
I think that's legit. I think the Red Sox are going to be completely out of it by September 1st.
Joe.
I don't know that they'll be completely out of it because I think, you know, I have them taking 2 out of 3 from this Texas team. I hope they can split versus Baltimore. So I'm hoping to just tread water here until we can pick up some games against hopefully Toronto. But I don't think it's that hot of a take. Like I don't think it's going to happen, but it's lukewarm at best. Definitely not, call the dogs.
I don't think it's a hot take, Eric, but thank you, Eric George E. I'm assuming Georgie from the town of Itville. I'm guessing that may have been perhaps a reference for those horror film folks out there. The Red Sox are about to be absolutely baptized by some of these teams. When you face Baltimore for 4, Houston just already did it. Arizona is one of the best teams. You are going to have a 5-game set against Toronto. Hopefully we win 2 or 3 of those. If you lose 2 of the first 3 against Toronto, how do you try to save face and say, sure, we'll have a better chance in September because at least we get to face the White Sox. But then right after that, you face the Orioles, the Yankees, the Tampa Bay Rays, who always seem to have our number. Our season looks better than it has because the Tampa Bay Rays are a joke in relation to what they were last year. They are also shelled out a lot of their guys. You know, one of their big pitching guys is now a Dodger, Tyler Glasnow. He's gone. Randy Rosarena, one of their big prolific outfielders, he's gone. He's now in Seattle. So Tampa Bay is a shadow of its former self, really, in all actuality. But they'll find a way. They always do. But truthfully, not a hot take. We're going to be out of it way before the end of August in both races, whether it be the division or the wild card. There's not much hope that I have at the present moment, sadly. Anything else that you want to add, T? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just looking ahead to that Baltimore series. So you're going to get, according to the ESPN schedule, you're going to get Zach Eflin. You're getting Corbin Burns. I don't know who this Suarez guy is, but he's got decent numbers on the year. And then Trevor Rogers has pitched pretty well in 5 out of his last 6. They just got him from the Marlins. So we're already not lining up very well for that 4-game set. And man, I don't think there's any reason to believe Houston doesn't take at least 2 out of 3. It's not pretty. I'll take it a step further. I think we're going to finish under 500 for the year. I don't see it.
Terry, that is a hot take because a lot of people think we're going to be winning over 80 games. There are some people out there that have really, really high hopes. I don't know. If this team were to finish with 78, 77 wins, you did say, what was the number at the beginning of the year, Terry? You thought the team was going to win 71. Is that correct?
Yeah, and we'll win more than that. But I think as it stands right now, I'd say 78 to 80 is where you end up.
So
let me ask you guys this.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm sorry to jump in there, Charlie. How many games did we win at the end of last year? Do you guys remember?
77.
74 or 76.
Okay, so at this point in the season, 116 games in, we're at the exact same spot we were this time last year. Do you think we're 3 wins better, 5 wins better the rest of the way than we were last year?
78 wins. I just checked. 78 wins. I apologize. I said we were going to win 72.
So we need to win 3 games more between now and the end of the year than we did last year to break 500. You guys think that's doable? I don't.
I don't think so. I mean, you have the White Sox next month and 1 or 2 other cupcake teams, but I don't think so.
Mixed it in with the overperformance of the first half of the season, too, to be completely realistic. You know, we faced some teams when they were down to 60%, 50%, losing either, you know, their elite bat or one of their big starters were down. Just, you know, a lot of things had gone right for the Red Sox at the beginning of the year. And no one thought that Sidon Raffaello was going to do what he did. And Jaren Duran also took a major step up this year, has really overperformed in relation to what he did last year, like exponential growth. Anything else we want to add on this one? No. All right, perfect. So, Job, what do you have for your take?
So I'm going to read it word for word here, and it comes from Johnny Fontaine, who I you guys had mentioned you know the name. New to me. So, Johnny, I'm picking this one out of the 15 or so that were submitted in the last half hour. The Andrew Bailey effect was always smoke and mirrors. I think that is a hot take. I think Andrew Bailey is a good pitching coach. I think most people would look like a good pitching coach after Dave Bush, who I think we can all agree was not a great, you know, molder of pitching. I also think that because Andrew Bailey was the big acquisition made by this team, and because we didn't get the number one top of the line front office guy that we wanted, and we didn't spend money in the offseason and go full throttle, that Andrew Bailey was overhyped by both the organization and the fan base to be the next savior for those who are looking for hope for this season, because they didn't want to go into the season expecting the same as last year. Turns out, you know, 116 games in, we're in the exact same spot as last year. And I think, you know, he's a good pitching coach, but he's not a miracle worker. And you can only work with what you've been given. And he just hasn't been given nearly as much talent as he was given in San Francisco to work with. And, you know, you're seeing the result.
Terry.
So I'm trying to pull up. Let's see. Was it 2021 when they were really good? They won like 107 games. Or maybe
you're talking about the Giants.
The Giants, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah,
that was an
important detail. I don't think it was that year. It must have been 22 because I thought Rodon was on that team.
I think it was the year after.
Yeah. So that was the year that kind of got him, you know, on the map as a pitching coach. Like, that was a very unforeseen 107 win, you know, season. And Logan Webb, you know, kind of his coming out party, 290 ERA. Carlos Rodon had probably the best year of his career, 2.88 ERA. Alex Cobb had a very good season, you know, and so when you're hiring a guy like Andrew Bailey, that's something you look back on and think, okay, well, you know, maybe he could be one of the next great pitching coaches. And it's too early to render a verdict either way, but outside of those overperformances by Houken and Crawford, what has the season been? I mean, I would almost assume, just looking at the stats, that Dave Bush is still the pitching coach. And Heim should have got rid of him after 2022. But it's going to be a while. It doesn't help that we've signed a bunch of trash starters. You know, we'll see next year what happens with Giolito. But I'm not impressed. I'm not sitting here right now professing that I'm an Andrew Bailey guy. And I don't know who he would turn to, you know, regardless.
Well, here's the facts. We had a really, really great start to the year. He was a part of that. You cannot deny it. Not every single pitcher worked out, and some of them unfortunately crashed and burned. Can't deny that either. Numbers don't lie. It worked for some people. It did not work for others. And then reality set in, and the month of, if I'm not mistaken, it was like end of May going into June, and then things aren't looking so great. July wasn't looking like April or May. So was it the fact that everybody was completely healthy, rested, refreshed? Was it something like that that did it in? I mean, I don't think, and Johnny Fontaine's been with us, and we always appreciate communicating with him. We go back and forth. You know, I already, you know, jokingly told him as soon as, you know, Tyler O'Neill is batting, I think of him, and didn't think of him once this series because he didn't hit. Just kidding, Johnny. It was just one of those things where, you know, it worked out at one point and then it stopped working. And that's it. I don't know if I'd say it was smoke and mirrors, because I think he did have a positive effect on some guys, and it worked for a little bit. And hopefully it's just like a bad stretch and they'll be able to rectify the wrongs. That's what I'm hoping is the case. Am I 100% fact on that? No. Could you be right? Absolutely. I really want to believe, though, that that's not the case, because if it is, good God, that free fall thing that we were just talking about, just one tweet before another hot take, is going to come to fruition a lot faster than any of us expected. Anything else that you gents wanted to add? Yeah, Terry, go ahead.
So as of late May, the Red Sox had the number one pitching staff in Major League Baseball. That was rotation and bullpen, so pitching overall. Where do you think we rank right now?
I'm going to go with 18th, just a random guess.
23rd, 22nd.
Job was about as close as you can get. We're 17th at the moment with an overall ERA of 4.11. But that number is going to drop. And I always said, you know, during the Bloom era in 2021, that was the year we made the playoffs, we were 13th in the rotation, or it was 13th and 17th. I don't know which one was the bullpen and which one was the rotation, but 13th and 17th, that was by far the best we ever were in the Bloom era. And beyond that, I mean, we had one or two years where we were bottom five in one of those areas, and we're sinking like a rock right now. And I'm willing to bet by the end of the year, Andrew Bailey's first season, we're going to be like 23rd or worse when all is said and done.
Even if we are 23rd or worse, I think the talent on this team is less than those Bloom teams as far as pitching goes.
Yeah, I mean, Pivetta's had his normal up and down. I mean, he's had some injuries this year, which he hasn't dealt with. But, I mean, it's been a roller coaster year for him. A step back for Bayo this season. And, you know, I mean, that five spot's kind of been in flux. You've had Criswell making starts. You had James Paxton make, what, two full starts? It's not good.
You know, injuries are a part of the game. We know that. But unfortunately, I think this one, I feel like a lot of us could have predicted this. A lot of us could have said this one might not work out. And sure enough, it didn't work out. I'm not surprised, but I never looked at him as the answer. I really did not. So it sucks that it happened. It really does. It sucks that we're here. Yeah, T, go ahead.
So I got the numbers finally. So we had in 2021, it was our bullpen that was ranked 13th with a 3.99 ERA. And then our rotation was 17th. Let's see, where's that? So 17th with a 4.49 ERA. So not good.
Not going to get it done. Anything else that you wanted to add, Joe?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. So my hot take on this one, this is going to come from Will Succeed. Will_succeed. Interesting spelling. Capital W, lowercase I, capital LL. Well played. _succeed. Red Sox are going to completely tank after this Duran nonsense. Team is beyond cooked. So let's break this down for a second here. This is past 2020 now. This is 2024. You know, I want to say like, okay, cool, let's dust this one under the rug. But because it's Boston, people are going to say, oh, here's another player in Boston saying something inappropriate. There was an AHL manager who directed a homophobic slur towards a referee and got 10 games. And that's the coach. And that's the AHL, as in the minors of the NHL. there was a fan who heckled and said something, you know, stupid, whatever. It's not even worth repeating because it was dumb. Jaren Duran is 28. How old is Jaren Duran?
He's 27 or 28.
27. Okay, 27 years old. A little bit older, you should know better. You know, you're past the age of high school. You're past the age of college. You don't really get, you can't really get away with that comment anymore. You know, it's really, really unfortunate. I don't know what it was like. I don't know if you were to look back at some of his old tweets and stuff like that. Like, people forget, but here's the thing. Josh Hader got burned for this. Josh Hader for several, I mean, there were several tweets. If you look through, you can still see screenshots of some of the tweets that Josh Hader either like tweeted or retweeted. And yeah, he was a teenager, but here's the thing. He apologized. He, you know, David Stearns, his former GM, said he's going to have to work hard to get the trust and respect back from his teammates. Jaren Duran has been having an out of this year campaign in 2024. It's incredibly unfortunate that this happened. It's not something that is going to be dusted under the rug. He will get a suspension of some sort. It could be two series. It might be 5-6 games. If it's 10 games, it wouldn't surprise me. I would really, really like to see Jaren Duran come out of this saying and doing all the right things for the remainder of the year. You know, if people chirp, you're having a stressful game or you're having a bad time, let it go. It is just not worth it. These people, they're not cussing you out. They're not saying anything homophobic or racist or inappropriate to you. They paid $80, $100 to chirp and be stupid. Let them be stupid. Let them be ignorant. That fan, moron, irrelevant, an absolute zero, a nobody. Why give that person the time of day? Now that tweet is going to be forever, you know, it's there. I mean, once you say it, you have to know in this day and age, something you say or something you do is going to be recorded. It's going to be viewed. It's going to be seen by some source or heard by some source and plastered. Plastered. It's 2024, dude. There's cameras on the sides of every single corner of buildings. You think a mic wasn't going to catch that? And I think in the moment, wasn't thinking it was a blip. I know he's going to learn from it. He's never going to do this one again. But here's the facts. When you, regardless of who it is, you know, male, female, young adult, adult, if you use that term in frustration or anger and you don't realize you're going to get recorded, it's not the first time it's happened. We're just going to, this is people that have just been unfortunately on the wrong end of the mic. You obviously use the word. So my hope is that you do what you need to do to rectify the situation, how you see fit. My hope is that your teammates and you can get along because to the best of my knowledge, there aren't any players on the Boston Red Sox that are gay. I don't think so. I mean, if there's a baseball player that is, they're going to be incredibly offended by the comment. Yeah, I get it. But here's the thing. In 2024, that's right up there with some of the racist terms. You can't do it. You just can't. And I would be shocked if he didn't receive in the realm of, you know, 7 to 10 games. There was, you know, if you guys haven't heard it already, there are former play-by-play callers, announcers from, you know, the Athletics. I think one was for the Reds, if I'm not mistaken. They're gone. Like, they're gone from baseball because of the comments that they made, because they were made in poor taste. And, you know, they were just, one might have been a slip. The other one was because you didn't think you were being recorded. And this is another one where you didn't think you were being recorded. At the end of the day, you can't say it. And it does seem silly because it's just a word. And there are going to be some people that say, oh, well, sticks and stones. Well, here's the thing. You don't know who you're offending by saying that. Your strongest supporters could be those that you offended. You have no idea. And it just sucks. It really sucks that this happened to Jaren Duran. He's He's not a ball player that's, you know, bad. So he ultimately, I think, will be forgiven. And I hope that we're going to be able to move past it. But he's going to have to do some major work to repair his name, his brand, his relationship with teammates, with fans, because there are some people that may boycott Jaren Duran. They may boycott the Boston Red Sox. They may do something that may be seen as too drastic, but in their eyes, if they think that that's fine, go ahead, do it. It's, you know, do you. I know that Jaren Duran, the Boston Red Sox, are one of the most storied franchises in all of professional sports. They will make sure that he does not do anything like this ever again. It sucks that it happened, but ultimately he will right the wrong. That's how I'm going to leave it. I don't want to say anything else myself on it after that. Terry, why don't you go next, and then we'll wrap it with Joe.
So you mentioned the announcers. We've had a couple of them get fired. One of them was Tom Brennanman from the Reds. Just this year, he finally got a major gig. He's going to be calling college football again. So it took a while for him to repair his image, but he'll be back. Another one was the Oakland A's announcer. His was more...
His was really bad.
His was the N-bomb, basically. And with Brennanman, it was similar to what Duran just did. So those are announcers. The closest recent thing I could find that involved a suspension, Tim Anderson flipped the middle finger to the fans, got a one-game suspension for that. So I guess if you're looking for precedents, that's about as close as you can get. John Rocker had probably the most infamous situation about 24 years ago, where he had some racially insensitive slurs. He was suspended for, I think, the first 2 months of the season, something like that. So, you know, that's on the extreme end. Duran shouldn't have said that. I mean, there's obviously no place for that type of language, you know, against any group of people. And, you know, it's unfortunate. The guy he directed it at was acting like an idiot. I could see how a player would get frustrated in that moment because he was screaming at Duran something about he couldn't even swing a tennis racket or something. But again, you know, Duran took it to a place where you can't do that. And so that's what happened. I think he will get suspended for at least probably a few games. He'll probably have to take sensitivity training. There'll be a list of requirements. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, he's remorseful for it. I think it's going to be a learning experience. And, you know, something that, you know, he'll hopefully learn from. I don't know if there's any openly gay MLB players right now. A former player just passed away this week, Billy Beane, not the same as the Oakland executive, but he came out a number of years ago. I know there was an umpire, I think his name was Dale Scott. He came out towards the end of his career. So we'll see, but, you know, kind of an unfortunate situation.
Yeah, I think you both touched on the fact that, you know, it's unacceptable that that was said. I think that goes without saying that we don't need to cover that anymore. So I'm going to go more towards the tail end of that tweet, which is that the Red Sox are going to implode because of it. I just don't see that happening unless he gets suspended for that 7 to 10 games and we crater as a team from a performance standpoint. I think this is one of those situations where, you know, it might take some closed door meetings, maybe some players only conversations, you know, to educate Jaren on, you know, on a multitude of things. And there might be some players that are very upset by what happened today, but I don't see it cratering the season for the Red Sox unless Jaren is taken off the field for a significant amount of time, just because I think they view it the same way that we view it, right? Which is, hey, it's a bad situation that should never happen, but between adults, there are probably just conversations that happen, especially, you know, guys who spend 6 to 8 months together, where they probably have relationships with him that they can have a conversation, you know, put some things to bed and move on. I don't think it'll be something that lingers over the head of this team, as long as he doesn't get suspended for more than a series or two.
You know, Terry, real quick, you made a comment about John Rocker, who was controversial. I mean, I believe he stated that when he was on the subway in New York, he said the people, like, he made an inappropriate comment about referring to, like, people looking like rats or smelling like rats or something like that. And then he doubled down with a T-shirt. I remember it as clear as day. His T-shirt that he tried, like, promoting, it just said, "Speak English." I'll never forget that. And that was when he was, you know, one of the more electric closers for the Braves in the late 90s. I mean, he had a really short career. He was always a reliever. He never started a game, to the best of my knowledge. And he didn't last all that long. I mean, he just had a couple years, and, you know, maybe it was steroids that made him go out of his mind. I remember him always booking it out of the bullpen, and that was like his thing. And he was just flamethrower, just kind of crazy. And, you know, he's out of the game. And that was the nice. Imagine John Rocker in this climate. He would be canceled so fast. John Rocker would be gone. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, there's not much more we can add, I think, to this one. It just it sucks. It was unfortunate. It's a shame that it happened, but it's going to be something that he absolutely will learn from. There's no doubt about that one in my mind. No doubt.
Just a couple observations here. Duran also kind of got MLB a little upset last month when he was wearing that shirt that said F him, you know, the four letter F word. And so they threatened to fine him. He agreed not to wear it. So he's kind of been in their crosshairs fairly recently. They let him off with a warning because, you know, he was compliant with it. And then recently last year, I only just remember this. We had Matt Dermody, who had those offensive tweets that were basically homophobic. So he didn't get in trouble for that. I think it's a little different when it's on social media and if they were several years ago. I don't blame them. I don't blame them for getting exposed. You know, I think that's fair game, but he wasn't disciplined in any way for it. So we'll see. We're kind of in relatively uncharted water, so that's why I'm trying to find something to try to gauge what the punishment will be, but it's kind of hard.
We'll see. And, you know, if it ends up being a severe punishment, we may look at it like that. Seems like it's a little bit too much, but they're just going to ensure that, you know, if it ends up being 2 games, there are going to be some players that will drop that again. It's going to be something that's going to have to hurt, I think, for them to realize that it was not going to be something that they're going to be able to do moving forward, or any player. So I'm thinking it's going to be in the realm of 7 to 10 games. He might appeal it, but I don't even think you want to appeal a suspension like that. If you get 7 games, you're going to serve 7 games and be quiet. I think it's going to be about a week's worth of time. Yeah. See.
And then my final thing here, this will probably be, might be very unpopular with some people, but Jaron Duran, still my favorite player on the Red Sox.
I don't think that's, you know, I think Jaron Duran's still going to be one of the more beloved players on the team. He made a mistake. That's the thing, is you shouldn't get crucified for one mistake. And our hope is that he does right by the team and right by himself and bettering himself as a man and a ball player and a teammate. That's it. So that is going to do it for all of the Bastards. Have a great one. Take care.